last week, a friend of mine from seminary who is also on internship shared an interesting story with me that he said I could share with you all. Last Sunday, it was his week to preach, and he felt very called to preach about the violence that had happened at the Capitol. But then on Monday, when he sat down to work, he found a very angry email waiting for him. The email from one of his congregation's longtime members angrily decried what he had preached about and was mad that my colleague had dared to bring up the insurrection in his sermon. My initial thought after hearing this story was to be thankful that I haven't experienced such drastic pushback here from you all when I preach. After all, my colleague and I are fairly similar in our worldviews. We share many of the same convictions, and we both serve ELCA congregations that have similar demographics in membership. It could have happened here, maybe. But at the same time, I also wasn't exactly surprised that my friend had gotten pushback for what he preached, because ELCA or not, followers of Jesus or not, nobody likes to hear that the gospel message is a little different than what they think it is, or isn't directly focused on them, isn't all for them. I don't like to hear that. I really don't think you all like to hear that. And the folks at Nazareth and our scripture reading for today didn't like to hear that either. We want the gospel to be about us. We want the good news to always apply to our lives, to be about our freeing from the struggles of the world. Let's look at those people in Nazareth again. Here comes Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and people are talking about him all across the land, praising the work that he's doing, praising the teaching that he's offering. And he arrives in Nazareth, his hometown, the place and the community that raised him, that brought him up. Surely, of all places, if Jesus is going about teaching these wonderful things, these inspiring, liberating messages, and doing miraculous works, surely his hometown will get in on the action. Surely, if anyone is getting a comforting message from Jesus, it will be these people. Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except a widow in Sidon. And there were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Jesus recalls the stories of the prophets Elijah and Elisha, prophets from Israel, who could have gone to other people in Israel, people in their own land, to offer help and healing and miraculous wholeness. But they don't. Elijah and Elisha go to Gentiles. Naaman is a Syrian, and the widow is from Sidon. Neither of these people are Israelites or followers of Yahweh. They're not part of God's chosen people, but they're the ones who get God's restoration. They're the ones who receive the gospel. Jesus' words are not exactly words of comfort, are they? At least not if the audience that's listening is part of God's chosen people, like the Nazarenes are. And certainly the people feel like they're getting short shrifted. It's almost as if they're saying, you're one of us, Jesus. We raised you. We're your people. And you're saying you're not going to offer us the good news and miracles that you've been offering to folks that you don't even know, folks in other towns. You're going to help people outside of your community. When the people heard what Jesus said, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. We want the gospel to be about us. Jesus shows up and reads from the scroll, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is telling the people of Nazareth all about God's promises of restoration, all about God releasing the captives, both those literally in prison and those held captive by sin. It's as if Jesus is saying, look at all that God will do to bring health and healing and wholeness to the world. But sorry, not for you, Nazarenes. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other people. What good is release from captivity and restoration of body, mind, and soul if it's not being offered to you? When you and I show up on Sunday and the sermon seems more about freedom for someone else or some other group or some other subset of the population, what good is it to us? Where does that leave you and me? Or the person from my friend's congregation, when the gospel that Jesus came to proclaim isn't about us? How uncomfortable and scared and even angry that makes us. It's not a place we want to sit. So we get angry, we push back, we try to throw Jesus off a cliff. We want the gospel to be about us. Siblings in Christ, God brings heavenly freedom. God brings true liberation. God brings release to the captives, sight to the blind, and lets the oppressed go free. And this is good news. Just perhaps not in the way we'd normally think of it, because normally we'd like to feel comforted. And it's hard to feel comforted when some days I might be broke, but I'm not actually poor. And I might not agree with the government or my officials, but I'm not actively being oppressed. And I might feel trapped up inside because of COVID with nowhere to go, but I'm not being held captive. It's uncomfortable for the heart of the gospel message to be addressed to somebody who's not me, who's not most of you. But the gift of God's gospel freedom is that it opens us up to the possibility that the comfort we crave and need is both already with us and can actually come from us being co-comforters with God. Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we read at the start of today's scripture. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus as he came to preach this hard and difficult message to his hometown. The Holy Spirit is with us each day, whether the world seems bright or dim. The presence of the Holy Spirit with us means that you and I already have a comforter beside us when we're looking for a message of hope. And the presence of the Holy Spirit beside us empowers us to take that comfort to others. When we hear that the good news at its core seeks out the captives and the poverty-stricken and the oppressed, we hear the need for comfort for others. When there are others who need comfort more, we are invited to be God's partners in comforting them. And when we comfort others, we start to create a world where there is true comfort for everyone. When we demand changes to the treatment of our Black and Brown siblings, we offer them the chance for God's comfort through the ending of their oppression. When we vote for fair and raised minimum wages, we offer comfort to folks living in poverty so that they might have a shred of justice in their lives. When we visit and advocate on behalf of folks in prison and folks sentenced to death, we offer comfort and hope of freedom to those who are captive. And when all those who are most truly in need of the gospel can finally hear it, finally experience it, then all of us can truly experience it. Fairness to each individual person is not the goal of Jesus's good news. true equitable freedom where all have enough and all are enough is the goal. God brings heavenly freedom. And heavenly freedom destroys human hierarchies and human systems. Heavenly freedom tends to make people mad because it's not fair. Heavenly freedom brings health, wholeness, healing, comfort, and justice to all. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, appropriate for this week and these tumultuous days in our lives. A day where we celebrate the life and work of Dr. King, who was a truly prophetic leader. One of the sermons Dr. King wrote is entitled Love in Action, and our Synod Bishop, Bishop Ortiz, shared an excerpt of it recently that I'll read for you now. Jesus eloquently affirmed from the cross a higher law. He knew that the old eye for an eye philosophy would leave everyone blind. He did not seek to overcome evil with evil. He overcame evil with good. Although crucified by hate, he responded with aggressive love. What a magnificent lesson. Generations will rise and fall. People will continue to worship the God of revenge and bow before the altar of retaliation. But ever and again, this noble lesson of Calvary will be a nagging reminder that only goodness can drive out evil and only love can conquer hate. The gospel is not about fairness. It's not about an eye for an eye. The gospel is about love and comfort and healing rooted in justice. Only when there is true justice can there be true freedom. And justice can only reign when we realize that we may need to become uncomfortable so that all might become free. Thanks be to God. Amen.